You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. We're back. We made it back from Contact in the Desert.
Yay! We had fun.
I didn't see any reptiles. I didn't see any. But one visited me, came back with me, like a little insect bite. But it was hot. It was nice. I rate the Contact in the Desert. What do you rate it?
I would give it a 7.9.
I'm going to give it a 5. because you know what it was for me? Too many people. You know, when you go to an event, it's like going to Disneyland. Why go to Disneyland? You spend one. You want to meet people. So, and then also, they gave us the food.
The food was horrible.
Horrible.
Oh, my God. No one should have to eat like that. Not even in the desert.
Yeah, and they charged for it, too.
A lot of money, like $50 per meal. And we're talking about, they handed us boiled eggs, overcooked oatmeal, or runny oatmeal, depending on your day. Yogurt that they sell at like the dollar store.
Yeah.
No, actually, it wasn't as good as the dollar store yogurt.
You get better at the dollar store.
Yeah, you can get better at the dollar store. Yeah. And then the hummus. The hummus is definitely, like, it still had the plastic rim on it when you were still eating it, you know?
Yeah.
It was, for a place that was supposed to be, now, I will tell you, the people there were great. And when David Wilcox was doing his lecture, which is, you know, anyone who's out there, I actually saw, a whole bunch of us saw a silver object that was round floating in the sky above us, and there was about 2,000 people who all saw it.
Wow.
So I have to give it up to David Wilcox.
Can you take a picture of it?
Oh, please, on my phone?
I
love my phone, but it is an older model of an iPhone, so I'm waiting for the new ones to come out before I get a new one. Let's just say, yeah, nothing came out.
anyway, so we're going to be the next one that I'll be attending is the one in Vegas. I'll be going to the MUFON Symposium, and I hear it's a little better, and I hear the speakers are different, and they have one in San Francisco this weekend, which I couldn't go.
Well, I'll do San Francisco. It's just one more place that's hot, like we just came from.
Yeah.
Now, it was actually the first 2 days or 3 days we were there. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But Sunday,
it was horrible.
We woke up, we went to go get breakfast, and it was 94 degrees by the time we were getting breakfast.
Had good coffee, by the way.
Had good coffee. Hey, coffee is all that matters to me.
Okay.
So we were doing good. We were having a good time. We also met some amazing people. Over the next few weeks, we're going to have some really fantastic guests, people we met at the event, and one of them's tonight.
Yes, in fact, tonight we're going to have on John DeSouza, who wrote a wonderful book about UFOs. And in fact, I listened to one of his interviews. Because you get the spy on what people are asking him. And the lady was looking at him, her watch and her computer. I go, oh, my God, did she have food on the table? It was a funny interview. And she goes, you know, according to whatever. And I go, it was funny. So we're going to get him on and hope he can come on. And then every week, we're on Friday night, we're going to have a new UFO
expert on.
Yeah.
I have an entire list of amazing people, which I pre-interviewed for us.
That's right. He
that
was a man.
I went in there. I spent every day talking to these people. Not only that, we've got some people who've got some interesting books they've written, some really interesting subjects.
Art.
We have a couple of people who did some really interesting UFO art. We've got a whole bunch of different interesting people doing different interesting things. And I love that. There's nothing more fun than someone who's a little odd and off who has something interesting to say. Because that's the only thing worth hearing.
Well, we're odd and off. That's why we do the show.
I'm just shy. That's my thing. Just because I'm a shy, shrinking violet over here.
No, right. Anyway, so that was that. We contacted the desert. They may have it there. They may not have it there. We'll find out. I'm not going to go because I'd rather go to the ones in back east. You know, the ones that they have back east. Because here, the problem is they overcharge and, you know, you give your credit card to love. That's what it is. Anyway, one other thing I was going to say, we at the UFO event, they had Steve Murillo, the head of UPARS, not DuPARS. He was there. And then you had Linda Moulton Howe.
Yes.
She was there. And then you had George Norrie, who's still trying to find his ratings.
Well,
the ratings went down to 1 million listeners.
Wow.
So
that's really low.
You know, because in the radio biz, you get to see what goes on. And the problem with the show is, if my mother had four wheels, she'd be a UFO.
Here's the thing. Can I tell you that George Norrie had a luncheon, which for the cheap seats were $65. You had a ticket to go. One of the tickets you had for lunch was to go there, $65 to have lunch with him. That was the cheap seats. Expensive seats were up to $150 to sit at the same table with him.
But you know what the problem with that is? He violated the law. Because, you know, when broadcasters come, and this is something Norrie, you know, if you read about George Norrie, people don't pay for you. You come for free. You're marketing yourself as a radio guy. And what I found wrong with that is, you know, they come and do their thing, but not charge people that much.
Well,
what did they get? What was it? The little sandwich?
Same stuff.
Oh God!
That crap that we were being forced to eat at this event. That we didn't eat.
And we went to Sizzler.
We went to Sizzler for lunch one day to all you can eat buffet and had a great time. We had this amazing girl whose name her name was Trisha.
Trisha,
who was our waitress, who was hysterical.
Yeah,
so sweet, so funny. I'm like, you know, she was totally cool.
You asked for coffee. She gave you many.
Oh, my God. Well, everyone knows I have to live on coffee. And I had ghosts. Can I just say, the hotel we stayed in, first of all, my room looked like...
Tell about your room.
My room. Okay, it was called the Oriental Room. Let's just say it was more like the Oriental Bordello Room.
It had
a jacuzzi tub in it that was...
Inside the room.
Inside the room that was as big as my car.
Yeah,
I could have fit four people in this thing. Now
you could have sold out. Four people would have been.
You know, let's just say it was not. It had its own stuff going on in that place. But I'm not even joking. When I would in the middle of the night, I would wake up to the door being knocked, and I'd hear knock, 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 I'd walk the door open, and there'd be no one there, and it stopped knocking. Going, oh my God! And I'm a psychic. Okay, I'm a life coach. I've dealt with ghosts my whole life.
Right.
But when I'm being woken up in the middle of the night, I'm trying to sleep so I can get up at 7 o'clock in the morning so we can get everything done, get to the event, get our the stuff done, and I have to be like, oh my God, I am done.
And schwitzen
and just
thank
God, like the view is beautiful. But thank God,
the room looked like you know what the room looked like.
Bordello.
Bordello. And you know what I thought of? And the guy, and you know what they charge us? $500.
It was $535 for this room.
Yeah, I
And I'm thinking, did a prostitute come with it? Because for that kind of price, well, let's just say I should have had company.
Yeah, you should have a lot of company for that price. And my room, which looked horrible, had a bigger TV. Figure that out.
Well, you couldn't see the TV because they had the TV in the room that I was staying in a direction that you could only look at it if you were sitting in the tub.
Oh, God.
Or what they called the dining room.
Oh, they have a Persian room next door.
Oh, the Persian room was interesting. Roman room was interesting.
Yeah, they had a Roman room.
They had a Roman room, which is like... And this is, of course, Yucca Valley. And you know, it's...
And the experience. Experience.
And they were having a fungus problem as well in the back. What was the name of this hotel we were staying at?
America's... Finest Quality Inn.
No. It was America's Best Value. America's Best Value.
The East of Eden.
East of Eden. Oh, my God. It was...
I told you. And they charged a lot. But anyway, that was our trip in contact in the desert. Let's interview these fine
lovely people.
Let's talk about... First, let's talk about Promise. Promise.
Mementos.
Oh, moment. I'm sorry.
Moments. Yes, we're looking for your card.
Moments by Disney.
And it's by...
Disney has a show called Moments.
Oh, I didn't know.
You get copyright. Get copyright. Yeah, they come out. So tell us about Moments.
Now, your name is Bernadette, right?
Bernadette.
Bernadette's this lovely woman. We met her in the garage as we're coming up. She's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She wrote this play.
I did.
Tell us all about your play.
It's just a short that's going to be at Hollywood Fringe this year, and it's about fear, basically. It's about a woman who's driving home and has a road rage incident, and when she gets into her apartment, she can't calm down, so she calls her therapist. And so it's about dealing with fear, old fears, new fears, and getting over it and overcoming it.
What's her greatest... What is she actually afraid of in this situation?
It's like she has a post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's something that happened in her past, and this incident with this man... Brought it back up, and she can't shake it. So, and she hasn't had the feelings for a long time, so she's dealing with that.
Well, it's interesting when you say that about road rage. They had a psychologist on I think it was Dr. Phil had someone on, mm-hmm. and they talked about road rage, mm-hmm. about how people can go back to a certain personality, or they have an episode that it doesn't leave them so fast. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting. He said, I guess about a week ago. So Dr. Phil said that anything can be cured of its nature. So he had a whole show about it. And I couldn't believe it. And then Dr. Phil says, you better take some time out and be friendly to your common man. That's what he said about road rage. Anyway, so road rage, who's starring in it?
Penelope Corf and
my girlfriend right there. No,
Christine Urivi.
Huh? No, I'm kidding with you.
And tell us about where did you, were you cast here in L.A.?
Yeah, both of them were in my last play. That was in North Hollywood last fall.
Oh, what was your last play? Where was it?
It was at the Secret Rose in
I love the Secret Rose.
Yeah, it's a great theater.
A lot of friends do some stuff there. Yeah.
It's a really good theater. I like it.
So now you have this play.
Yes.
Tell us about the actresses.
They've both been around for a while. Christine's from Brazil, and she's right now she's playing at the short that's up at the Hollyhock. Fifi and her friends.
Fifu. Ooh la la, Fifi.
Fifu.
I know her. What's her name? The writer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have you gone to see
her? He's a fellow.
No, yeah. I knew her in New York. God, what's her name?
I can't think of it.
I can't think of it. She's very ill now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but she was a big
Who?
Deal.
Who? Playwright? Was it a playwright?
Playwright of Feifu and her friends.
Oh, I know.
Oh, gosh.
We will call her number one. Tell us who that playwright is.
By the way, let's introduce our other guest here.
No, I didn't mean to butt in.
No, you're our guest, so you're allowed to butt in. We are chatty.
So his name is, he's got a nice name, Peter Wing.
Wing. Like a wing and a prayer.
Well, yeah.
Well, he gives you a buffalo wing when you tend the plate.
I want the whole chicken, not just the buffalo
That's
wing.
That's it.
You know? It's the difference between what's, you know, it's, you know, the difference between having a feather and a chicken. You know, I like the whole chicken.
Anyway, your play is called Spell of Tradition.
It's an opera.
Opera. He's an ex-opera guy.
It's an opera. It's not a play.
Okay, now tell us about who is performing.
I love opera, by the way. I used to be chairman of the board of the Phoenix Opera for a few years.
Oh, see. Mm-hmm.
He liked it.
Well, I have opera singers, you know.
Oh, who's that? Pray tell.
Well, I have the fabulous Karen Hogel Brown, mm-hmm. who sings with the L.A. Master Chorale, among many other things.
Okay.
She's done a lot of stuff. I have Matthew Ian Welsh, Matthew Acuff.
Okay.
I have fabulous Jessica Mamie from Glendale, I think. And she's
she's an import from Glendale.
I live in Mount Washington, so it's a little far.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I know Mount Washington well. I have a crazy friend who lives up there.
Oh, I love it up there. Yeah.
Now tell us about, you're doing an opera about Benjamin Franklin.
It's also a no play.
No? Explain that.
Well, for example, you know, Benjamin Franklin was very famous for having said, probably when he was a lot older, that it was better to have sex. Can I say that?
Yes.
Can't say that.
Oh, no. I say everything I want to here.
Better have sex with an older woman
Ooh.
Than a younger one. Because the older ones are easier to catch. And also, afterwards, they're so grateful. And he said,
Benny Hill said the same thing.
Down there, he said,
yeah, he did.
Once you get down there, everything is the same anyway, below the skirt, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then he said, afterwards, they're grateful and their conversation is more instructive. And furthermore, this is Benjamin Franklin's words, every knack with practice is capable of improvement.
Ooh.
She might have learned a trick or two.
Yeah.
That you have never thought of. So I took that and I spun this tale from Benjamin Franklin's life when he was 17 and ran away from Boston.
Right.
On his way to Philadelphia. He had to walk across New Jersey and get a boat down the Delaware. The legend is that he stayed the night in an inn run by an old lady.
Hold on one second. We got a caller. I think it may be John Sousa.
It could be John
Sousa. You're on the air, caller. Live on Cameron Sports Live. Who's this?
John?
Do we have John? Hello? You're on live. Hello? I guess he didn't like my voice saying, hey, John. You never know.
Maybe that's it. Well, let's see what happens. We'll hang up and let's see what happens.
Is that the taco guy?
Yeah, I got to start over again. Anyway, so about your play, how much are tickets? Oh, wait, we got another thing. Hold on. Let's see if this is the man.
John?
Man? John?
John? Hello?
Secret? Asian man. Secret.
Hey, John, Asian is that you? Man.
Hello? No? Is that him?
Yeah,
I guess we're having technical problems.
Like his number.
Here, let's buzz his phone here. Hello, John?
John? John, is that you?
Hello, this is John D'Souza calling.
Hi, John. I was going to say, secret agent man. Secret agent man. There you go.
There we go. Hey, so John
D'Souza. I love that song.
Who doesn't love that song?
That was a good song because you were with the FBI. By the way, I saw your interviews. The lady was staring at you at her cell phone. And I think if there was a pizza, she would be staring at the pizza. Yeah, some lady was interviewing. It was very interesting when you do your research. So now, John D'Souza, we saw at Contact in the Desert.
And he was one of our favorite, both of us agreed, he was one of our favorite people to talk to. And we love the fact that he had used to work with terrorism. And then the terrorism, kind of like this whole story about how you got into doing UFOs. We'd love to hear that story all over again. Tell us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for your audience, I'm John D'Souza. I was a FBI special agent for over 20 years. During that time, I worked a lot of big counterterrorism cases over the years. The Unabomber, the 93 World Trade Center bombing, up to and including 9/11, the 9/11 takedown of the towers in New York City as well.
Right.
And but during my time in the FBI, I started to notice a lot of paranormal issues that came up in cases and investigations, and I started collecting those. I started getting those together and putting them together, and after I retired from the FBI, I wrote my book, The Para Investigators, and I put out a lot of these stories of paranormal issues in investigations, police investigations of all kinds. And so that's how I originally got involved. But a lot of it also came from my connection to the X-Files.
Now, you said you...
Yeah, you were like a real Mulder.
They said that your boss asked you if Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files, if you guys were in collusion together. Is that
true? At the same time, in the 90s, everybody knows the show The X-Files. Everybody loves that show. And that show had some connection to that show because during that time, there was a minor little scandal in the FBI where they got in touch with the creator, Chris Carter.
Okay.
And they were the higher-ups in the FBI, they were very upset because I believe he had some stories in The X-Files that came directly from FBI files. Now, the problem was...
Allegedly.
And they had to interrogate him about that. But at the same time, they couldn't tell which stories they were talking about because that would give away a lot. That would give away a lot right there. And I was also questioned of whether I had any connection to Chris Carter and was giving him any information because I was on board with the FBI at the time. And I was able to say, no, I did not. I did not. And I believe that he was able to provide the fact that he was consulting with some retired FBI agents, which is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong on procedural matters. And so that's why X-Files was extremely accurate on that sort of thing. And that kind of thing is fine. There's no problem with that. So ultimately, Chris Carter said he thought they were going to shut him down with the X-Files. And I don't see how they could really do that. But ultimately, everybody just called it a day and everybody went back to their corners. But out of the whole thing, I got the name The X-File. Well, they started out The X-File Man, and then shortened down to The X-Man. My bosses told me I had been demoted from G-Man to X-Man, so it was not a compliment.
Well, I don't know, because I always loved Dr. Xavier, so I always thought of that as a.
Well, you got that model look.
Thank God I've always...
Anyway, in this interview you did, you talked about the... 9/11 about the Indigo kids. So, explain that, because I thought that was very fascinating.
Oh, yeah, that's right, about the kids in Canada.
I do my homework, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love that story, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
In the weeks, I write about this in my book, The Para Investigators. About the month before 9/11 happened, what happened was we had a lot of kids, even little kids, going all the way from the ages of like five, as young as 5 years old, okay, going all the way up to 12, all across the country. We're talking dozens and dozens of cases, right, of kids who had precognitions, had experiences of dreams, visions, right, all kinds of precog experiences of 9/11, the events of 9/11. And what happened was adults came in contact with them, and they were basically called in. They were kind of not by their parents, but they were turned in by caretakers, babysitters, school bus drivers. Mm-hmm. And so that when once 9/11 happened, people remembered these experiences, and they say, oh, wait a second, we've got to report these kids, and they have to be investigated for any sort of connection to terrorism and their families. Like, that's really what happened. So, for instance, we had and this is on my Facebook, there's a trailer that shows, for instance, there was a little boy who was doing arts and crafts in his class, and was about seven or 8 years old, and he's doing arts and crafts, and the teacher comes over and says, oh, these are some beautiful buildings that you drew here. These two buildings appear to be glowing, and there's these angels flying out of the buildings with these red wings on them. And the little boy said to the teacher, those buildings aren't glowing. Those buildings are on fire. And those are not angels. Those are people who are on fire jumping out of the buildings. So teacher walks away from a child like that and just chalks it up too much sugar. But once 9/11 happened.
They do. That's true. They do. Well, let me ask you a question, because there has been a famous book about 9/11 with the kids, and a lot of them still get scared if they see an airplane approaching Manhattan.
I heard about
that. Get afraid now.
It's true. It's true. I had a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, actually the wife of a very famous actor, who every time she's in town, they're she sees a plane going towards her, she can't handle being in town anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a hard time being in New York now. Yeah,
it seems like some of those planes come kind of low. It's weird.
Yeah, well some UFOs have come pretty low too.
Well, and they did that thing when Obama was president, the first year, they were trying to take a photograph of the Air Force One over Manhattan. It was a big scandal with Obama because they were trying to take this photograph of the Air Force One in Manhattan, and yet, you know, they're like, it was flying too low, was freaking people out. Yeah, people are calling the police constantly.
Anyway, what we'd like to say, John, we're going to continue with you. And one quick thing, I want to take a quick, not a commercial break, but I wanted to thank Shannon Lesner, we were on the trip. Yeah, Shannon Lesner, and she's been wonderful. She's a famous celebrity psychic in LA, and she was, we met at the event, and I want to thank her. And we're going to have Shannon in the next 2 weeks. She'll be coming in the studio. So anyway, now let's get back into detail, and then what we're going to do, we'll try to get as much, more or less, some of the things that happened. So we saw the kids were talking about people going out of the building, the fire. What else happened?
For instance, there were other kids as well, other examples of the Indigo Kids of 9/11. There's a little girl, for instance, she was probably about 9 years old. She was on a playground, okay, and she wasn't playing with any of the other kids. She was just keeping to herself, just tracing designs in the dirt. And teacher comes over to her and says, are you okay, sweetheart? Or what are you? And the little girl just says, okay, I'm fine. I'm just thinking. And then teacher turns to walk away, and the little girl grabs her skirt, pulls on it violently, and says to her, tomorrow, don't walk by any tall buildings, because tall buildings can fall down, and they fall down on people. And so teacher, you know, just walked away from that. The little girl didn't think about it again until 9/11 happened. And right, then she called it in to somebody so that the little girl could be interviewed and talked to by somebody. And there was another little boy, for instance, he was on a school bus, apparently hadn't slept the night before. Little boy, you know, about 8 years old, he fall asleep on the school bus. So all the other kids were gone. And wow. bus driver goes over to the child to wake him up. The little boy wakes up screaming about a building being on fire and people jumping out of the building. And then the child fully awakes, and bus driver again just chalks it up to too much sugar until 9/11 happens, and then he calls it in. And all these kids had to be interviewed by FBI agents, police officers, because these were all task forces that had been set up all over the country. Mm-hmm. And they had to be talked to, no matter how ridiculous the officer might feel, you know, and doing these interviews, they had to be done. There was no discretion on that. So we had to speak to each of these children, you know, along with their parents. Parents had to be checked, their backgrounds for any connection to terrorism. And in every single one, and again, there were dozens and dozens of these cases all over the country. And in every single case, never did any connection to terrorism ever come back. In other words, the paranormal explanation was the only explanation left on each of these cases.
Anyway, what I was going to ask you is you mentioned in this interview you did that about the Nazi bases under Antarctica. Tell us a little bit about that, because the lady got really excited when you answered that question, when she asked you the question about Antarctica. I've known that to be a very a big hot spot for when, you know, World War II, that they sent patrols to Antarctica. Tell us why it's so important.
Antarctica is so important because it's been going on for years. The fact that they found something under the ice, and right now all the major nations are there. They have a presence there like never before. And whatever they found, it accelerated. Uh-huh. Whatever was found accelerated tremendously in the last 12 months. In other words, whatever they need to do to bridge some kind of infrastructure to what they found has enormously accelerated in the last 12 months. That's why there are heads of state now announcing that they're going to visit Antarctica, just like heads of entire religions have visited in the last 12 months, almost like they're being summoned.
Yeah, Putin's going to be going there.
Yeah, yes. I find it fascinating who's going there. It's
yes.
Like, what is...
Well...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No. Finish.
It's because all the nations are jockeying for position to divide up what has been found there. And every message that we see, and again, we're living in a post-secrecy age right now where you can keep communications still. The governments can still keep communications secret, but they can't keep events secret. Everyone is plugged into the matrix. Everybody has their phones all the time. Everyone's plugged into the matrix. Everybody can talk about what happens in their lives. So in this age, you cannot keep events secret. That's why everything is leaking. Things are leaking out about Antarctica and what's happening there, because no matter how many non-disclosures you sign, you can always talk about your own life. You can talk about what's happening to you. And that's what people are doing. And every message keeps coming back to us that they found Atlantis, whatever
that
means.
They said
they found Atlantis.
When you said that, where there was a follow-up, and a guy talked about Atlantis, that they may have found it in Antarctica. You know, there was a follow-up. Now, let me ask you this, because you've dealt with, you were talking about John Kerry going down there, and it was kind of funny what you said, but tell the folks back out home about John Kerry.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Well, you know, it was amazing that it was actually election day when John Kerry, who was the Secretary of State at the time, right, he was suddenly in some kind of an emergency, was sent by the president at the time to Antarctica to go visit. And at this point, it was such an emergency that they couldn't even bother to compose a plausible cover story. It's almost like they just completely forgot to come up with something. And when John Kerry was asked at some point, he just said, "Well, I'm going down there to check on global warming."
Oh, God.
Which made absolutely no sense.
It makes no sense at all.
I hate to say this, but you know, some of the people who worked for Obama were just stupid. Some of the stuff that came out of their mouth.
We got some new people now.
Thank God he was smart. But people who worked for him were just dumb as rocks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, shortly before that, the King of Spain, Juan Carlos, King of Spain, actually visited. And he went with the Chilean Navy. The Chilean Navy took him. And took him and his wife, the Queen of Spain, which I hardly even knew that there was a King and Queen of Spain.
Yeah, they're actually... They are the descendants of, famous
Isabella.
Yeah, Isabella was not a nice lady. If you're Jewish in those days, she didn't like that.
But if you want to talk about weak cover stories, his was even weaker. He apparently was not prepared to come up with a good cover story, and he was asked. And he was asked, why in the world is the King of Spain and the Queen going with the Chilean Navy and visiting Antarctica? What is the Antarctica Peninsula is where everyone goes. And why are you going there? And he said, I'm going because I've always wanted to see the beautiful scenery there.
And then there's a Burger King right up the road.
Well, I got to tell you, I love Frozen 2 and all that beautiful scenery in the cartoon. Yeah. So that's why they're going there.
Under the sea.
No. It's I forget the song for Frozen. What was the song for Frozen? It was...
She sings country. She's more of a
blues. Our new country singer who's coming in. This is fantastic. Anyway,
now your book, we wanted to talk about your book. The purpose is... Now tell us your latest book.
My latest book is The Extra Dimensionals, True Tales and Concepts of Alien Visitors, which is, it's the sum total of a lot of the investigative conclusions that I've come to after studying a lot of these cases that have occurred, some cases that people think they know about, but there's other sides to them, and some cases people never heard of. So it's a culmination of some shocking conclusions that I've come to over studying these a lot of these cases and the people and subjects as well.
You know, I forgot to get a signed copy of your
book. You should have got a signed copy.
I
were there.
Was standing there. We were doing it. I forgot to get a signed copy of your book.
Anyway, I had a question for you. Some of the people, because I do my interviewing and I could tell if they're bullshit or true. So a lot of these writers, because I talked to them, you were the honest one of all of them. A lot of them I thought was they're prostituting their book, and I didn't believe their book, and I was right. You know, your book was phenomenal. And I got to say, the other people, why go there? Why waste people's time to buy the book? I bought one. Horrible. I won't tell what it was, but it was horrible. What they did, they plagiarized someone else's book.
Whoa.
And they were selling it there. And the two girlies that...
That's the one you spent $25 on.
Yeah.
I was there.
In the desert.
Yes, I remember.
I guess they want a good lawsuit, so they don't have to have it again. But anyway... it's unusual for an FBI agent to get involved with, to talk about the aliens and stuff like that.
Well, and we love the fact you're an FBI agent that has this information.
Yeah, and by the way, there one's coming out to talk about with NASA. There's going to be a book about NASA that's pretty true.
Wow.
So that should be blow off the covers. And Germany announced today they're gonna be public about UFO investigations. They're coming public. Germany was announced today. So it should be changing the background, the reality. We'd like to get you back. Can we get you back?
Absolutely, sure. Anytime,
Johnny wants
I would love
come back,
to.
So we'll get him back.
Yeah, John, definitely. I want you to come back. Definitely. I have more questions for you. I'm here trying to get everyone organized.
We have our
singers. To finish up with our opera.
Opera,
that we
singers,
were doing.
I'm
then we've got our singer to talk about.
And they didn't even buy us food. There you go. Anyway, thanks, John.
Thank you very much, John. We look forward to we want you back here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
We want to talk more about this. And by then, I want to have had a copy of your book in my hot little hand so I can read it and I can be more
informed. How do people buy it?
Where can we find it? Where are the best
places to
find it?
Just go to johntamabooks.com.
Can you spell all that out?
Yeah, John, common spelling, J-O-H-N, Tama, T like Tom, A-M like Mary, A, books.com. And also on Amazon.
Love Amazon.
Future show.
Anyway,
John, maybe we can get you on our show. That'd be fun.
Great.
Oh, yeah. It would be. When you're in town, we want you here.
You'd be the FBI agent looking at me and saying,
there we go.
What UFOs? I'm just kidding with you. Anyway, John, we enjoyed meeting you, and you were great, and we'll have you back. So
all right,
Mark,
he's going to be back. I already got it marked down.
Good. He's got John Michael.
I'm on it.
He's got that nice suit.
All right, there we go. Anyway, well, I'm all dressed up again tonight, so, you're
awesome. That suit. Suit tonight. Anyway, John, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much, Cameron. Thanks so much, John, Michael.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Anyway,
We want to
finish. We have a big show.
Let's hear more about the opera. Where is it performing? Yeah.
It's going to be at the Ebell Club, Highland Park. A really great space. That's fantastic acoustics.
Okay.
And it's 1st, 2nd, 3rd of June, 8 o'clock.
You know, that's just before my birthday. I might have to get tickets to go there.
No, I'm going to be in...
So you just have to be the costume designer, Carolyn Kiesel.
Oh, yeah.
Who is... But she loves psychics, let me tell you.
Well you'll tell
get him
that.
Get him up.
You have my card. Send me a free ticket.
It's descended from Donald Duck. Oh. Her uncle was Donald Duck.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like, the actual all his life.
That's all I can do.
Next week we will have the real Donald Duck. No, just
No.
He was delivering milk in Glendale way in years ago in the Scotch cannabis garage and said my name's Walt Disney. And they talked about animal noises, and that was it.
Really?
Anyway, she's a great, great person, and you'd love her. So.
Well, you know, and I do love opera.
Yeah,
you see, know, and then you love opera.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Guardar mare come bello.
We got free singing here.
Opera, you know.
Up to charge you.
And so I love opera.
Time, we got to. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We look forward to it. We want to hear more about this.
We got
to
get our group.
I want you email me info. Okay. So I want to go. You better grab my card there.
Okay.
All right, because I'll come and meet. Who's am I meeting again?
By the way, good dinner places right by.
Yes, places to have dinner at near where. So when we go to the opera,
but you know the Cafe Birdie. It's fabulous. Right
Cafe
on.
Birdie.
It's new. It's just opened up a year ago. It's Avenue. It's on Figueroa and Avenue 57, right there.
Okay.
Fabulous, chic, divine, and the food is great.
All right.
Anyone says chic, I'm going.
Yeah.
There's a chic. Anyway, we wanted to mention to people because Memorial Day weekend's on, and they have the Greek Festival in Northridge, and they have the Simi Valley Cajun Blues Festival in great old Simi Valley. And we got a gal that came. She came. She stuck with me tonight. Alex Nestor. Nestor, you know, it's like Nestor.
Hello, Alex.
Nestor.
You are so, by the way, she's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
By the way,
you
sound gorgeous.
Oh, you sound gorgeous. Hey, baby, how you doing?
Yeah. Anyway, she got beautiful. By the way, I listened to your old music, and it was very good.
I brought you some new music as well.
Ooh, you want to do a live?
I like free things.
Let's do live.
Give me free.
So let's do live. And let me get this call real quick. And because we want to satisfy our listeners. Who's this on the air? Who is this on the air? This is Gary.
Who is this?
Who's this? Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi. Hi, who's this? Okay, we got the pay. Who?
Okay. Marquise.
Okay.
Marquise,
are you supposed to come on our show?
Yes.
Okay. We'll make an appointment because we have a live show right now, okay? All right, we'll talk soon. All right, bye. Okay. All right. I love when people call and they don't show up. Boy. That's L.A. Anyway, Alex Nestor, you sang the national anthem, actually, at a soccer event.
At the L.A. Galaxy season.
I know the people of the Galaxy. They're nice folks. And you sang it tonight. And you had a bout with cancer. Is that right?
Yes, I did. I'm just over 16 years cancer-free.
Yay! John Michaels, she fought cancer.
You fought cancer.
Which one did you have?
I hate cancer.
Which cancer did you have?
I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I was 16. Fantastic. Yes.
Well, people out there, you listeners, she's inspirational. They're going to sing. They're going to sing right now.
I do my best.
So let's get a. Could you do a
you
song?
You ready right now? Yeah.
Let's get right now.
Here with my guitar player, Mr. Max Rich.
Yay!
Hello, Max.
Where's he from?
Max is very, very cute.
Where are you from?
And by the way, what Max has...
I grew up a mile from here.
There you go. Max has a tattoo that I love. It is... I don't know what it... It's musical notes around his... It's like a band. Like,
what happened to your photographer?
It's fantastic. Why aren't you filming this stuff?
Yeah! We get paid. We'll do it.
I mean, come on.
We'll do it. Yeah.
I look pretty
anyway,
camera.
Wait a minute. So tell us about your life.
He's my husband. I wasn't told. I had to pay him.
Husband?
I don't know.
It's trivia. So tell us about where you're from.
I am born and raised Simi Valley, California.
Oh, my God.
Born and
I've been
raised.
Praised by the Lord. Yes. She's been saved on Simi Valley, California.
This is the first time I get to play the Cajun and, Music and Blues Festival.
Is
I'm so excited.
I got VIP. We're going to get more.
Ooh.
We got to get John Michael
yes,
to go.
Yes, we got to get VIP. You there. And I'm playing on Sunday at 12:15. I'm so excited.
I do there. Love Cajun
I'm
going to
be
food.
There Saturday because I'm going to go interview with George Harrison's son.
Oh,
they have the new Beatle channel. So I'm going to interview the son.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
So, and by the way, who's the lead actor going to have? Robbie Krieger.
Yes.
Robbie Krieger.
Oh, man.
So people that know music.
That festival every year turns out some of the greatest acts. I'm just beside myself that I get to be like listed among some
of those. Well, Lisa would occasionally with my buddy. We used to sing occasion song live on the air, and I miss her because she's in Sacramento. She'll come back. You'll meet her.
Oh,
she
awesome.
She has a howling voice. She goes, yeah.
I got to reprise that when she comes back down.
I'm going to have her down here.
You're going to have to.
Yeah.
Studio performance.
Hey, we have a live performance. Anyway, what are you going to sing for us tonight?
I'm going to sing the song that started my very first record, which was years and years ago. It was right after I got
She looks 5 years old.
Though. Wow, you can't
12,
be that
12
old.
12 years old.
What are you, like 23, 25 tops?
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever you say.
Whatever you want to say.
Well, I only admit, I
make
I
her
never
younger.
Admit
I make
anything
her younger
over 39 too. Myself, so let's just be honest.
Now, by the way, your albums, how can people buy them?
You can find all my music on iTunes, on Amazon.
Okay,
yeah,
we love Amazon. Yeah,
You can go to my website, alexnester.com. That's N-E-S-T-E-R.
Okay, do you remember Nestor?
Something? I actually have her name written on this thing right here. It's N-E-S-T-E-R, yeah. Alex, A-L-E-X. So I have it written. So we can actually
CD
find
Baby
her.
Also.
CD Baby.
It's called CD Baby?
CDBaby.com, yeah.
Did you go to school with CB Famous, CB Valley? She played in a great movie, Young Gal, played in Descendants. Can you name that actress? See, we have a little trivia.
No.
Name that actress.
Ah.
She's a CB Valley girl.
Ah.
I have a whole bunch of family out in CB Valley, I rarely go out there, except to go to the Ronald Reagan Library.
I still haven't seen Air Force One. I've heard that is the coolest thing to see.
It is very cool.
There's a lot of Air Force One there. No. We don't know if Trump sold it to the Russians. Anyway, get back to the Trump. We don't know.
This is a song off my first record. I started, really working on my first record right after I got sick and started getting back in the studio and getting back into life and everything. The whole record took 8 years to finish, but I wouldn't change a second. And,
I'm glad you fought cancer and won, because one of my favorite singers of all time, her name was Eva Cassidy.
Oh,
and she didn't beat cancer.
I know.
But that's a voice that I still cry when I hear it.
Love
who
her.
I'm talking about. But you need to say. Go do
so
your
this
thing.
Song, you can find it on iTunes and all that stuff. And it's a very different version, and it's called Unique.
Ooh, okay.
Through life, there is gonna be opposition. Yeah, I know. Times you're just gonna wanna let them win. Oh no, no. Oh, but I also know you ain't getting nowhere. No, 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 you are beautiful, intelligent, wonderful, you're living, yes, you are. Said there ain't nobody else alive. No, baby. So hold on, stay strong, be true. I said there's no possibility. Hey, 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 yeah. Oh, let the voice of your personality rattle the walls with pride. Don't agonize about what might happen. You got to trust yourself. You just have to believe that. hold on, stay strong, be true. I said it's all a possibility. Hey, 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 yeah, yeah. So you're beautiful, you're intelligent. What the hell? Nobody else like you. No, 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 no. So hold on, stay strong, be true. Oh, yeah, it's all a possibility. Yeah, 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 yeah. I said hold on, stay strong, be true. It's over. It's all a possibility.
Awesome. What a voice! What a voice! She's gonna melt through the hearts.
Smoking.
And you imagine those people. Ooh, gonna have the, what are the little lobsters called? They have there.
Crawfish.
Crawdaddies. Can you imagine listening to her and having your crawfish?
Well, you know,
that's a delight.
And again, that's Mr. Max Rich on guitar. He'll
looks
be
like a little George Harrison. I'm ready to say, "My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord."
Now, are you self-published?
I'm completely independent.
Now, you don't work with anybody? Do you have anyone you want to work with or people like that?
Well, there are a ton of people I want to work with, but I guess what I've done from the beginning is I've done everything pretty much by myself. My first record, Robbie Robinson, he's he works with Frankie Valli.
Oh, yeah.
He's a musical director, incredible Hammond organ player. He was my mentor and did my first record with me, and basically, this whole first record where this song came from, I just kind of grew into who I was musically.
Right. Well, you have the R&B, definitely. You have the soul. I feel like
that's what I.
60s baby, 70s baby.
I would
Aretha.
Love,
she's got some Aretha in her.
She's got some good.
That's
got
high
some
praise.
Massive, well,
yeah.
Much appreciated.
So you come to my show, you get high praise.
I got a buddy of mine named Tommy that is a really fantastic. Jazz musician. His father Tommy is a well-known writer. He wrote Tommy's famous song was "The Real Slim Shady." He wrote that. He wrote all the music for this guy named Marshall.
Anyway, hi. We're getting photos taken.
But, yeah.
Anyway, by the way, you're gonna be playing Sunday because of time. Sunday, you're gonna play what time?
Sunday at 12:15 in the afternoon, 12:15 p.m. We're playing for an hour. You're going to hear this song, full band.
You have another
horns.
CD for the host? CD for the host?
I have a few.
No, you've got one right here.
I didn't see it.
You have one there.
And
it's
him.
By the way,
I have a card.
I even have a card. Oh,
you know what?
This.
By the way, your song you did, I got
look
one
at
of
this.
Your songs. You did your...
Look at this. Yeah. More CDs are coming out of my purse.
I think you look fantastic in a dress. Yeah.
More CDs are coming out. I've been working for
full,
a long
hey,
time.
We're getting a full collection. By
oh,
the way,
I love this photo.
Fan club. Is there a fan club? Fan club. Fan club?
Fan club. Somebody needs to start one.
Okay. I'll start one. LA Talk Radio.
You
fan
look fantastic. Like, I wish you guys could see how gorgeous she looks
nice.
In this photograph.
Well, they should go buy the record and then they can see it.
Then they can see the complete photo.
You are so cute.
By the way, what are you going to play after the Simi Valley Blues and Cajun Festival?
After
What's
the
your
Cajun
next date?
Festival, what is my next date?
I don't know.
I'm
not your agent, so I have no idea.
You know what? I have no idea where I'm going to...
Anyway, she's going to be playing around town. That's all we'll say.
I do play around town a whole lot. You can always find us every Friday or Saturday, roughly. We're out playing. We're everywhere from Santa Monica up to Ventura.
Oh,
and
nice.
Everywhere in between. And you can always go to my website, alexnester.com.
You know what, Alex? I like her music. By the way, folks out there, if you get a chance... Listen to her on CD Baby, wonderful stuff. If you're able to go to the Simi Valley Cajun Festival, see her on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Too bad I'll be on Saturday. But anyway,
I may try to get my little Tushy out there.
Yeah, you got
to
see her.
I think you should.
I'm going to try.
Let's get him VIP. 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 VIP.
What I'll do is I will call some family, see if I get my family out there.
You've got family out there. You should come on out.
Come on in.
You know, it's just sort of like I get out.
And the food is good.
Come on. You want to come for me.
Well, I know.
Come for her.
I will do my best.
I wish you were playing Saturday. I'm going to be there and cover the band.
It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be so much fun. I've never, this sounds so terrible, I've never actually been to the cage. This is my first time going.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
And I'm like, whew, like my very first time at Dodger Stadium, lived here my whole life.
Really? Where have you been?
First time at Dodger Stadium, I got to sing the national anthem.
Oh, that's nice.
This is the strangest life, and it's fabulous.
Were you nervous at the Galaxy game?
You know, I get nervous after. It's weird.
Wow.
Like, last note, yay, people are clapping, hopefully, and not throwing things at me. Yeah. They're clapping.
Then you're a terrorist! No,
my gosh!
Then she's a terrorist.
What? No.
I'm kidding. She's
a nice girl.
She's a nice girl from Simi Valley.
Oika Vault.
Nice. I'm kidding. Yeah. Anyway. The actor, she's been in so many films, and probably in her 20s.
Talk about Shailene Woodley.
Woodley! You know her?
Yeah, I didn't know. No, I've
she's
never met
Simi
her.
She's a Simi Valley girl.
But I know she's a Simi Valley girl. She definitely has put us on the map.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah, and also rock singer from Simi Valley.
Who?
That I don't know.
Peter Densmore from The Doors was from Simi Valley.
Really?
You kidding?
No! I do my trivia thing. Now, Simi Valley, baby. So that's it. Anyway, we thank you because we're running out of time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
I get to see you live and in person.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? You coming back?
If you'll have me back, I will absolutely come back.
We'll offer you Canisius.
Only if Max can come back.
Maxie?
Max plays beautifully.
Max is wonderful.
He's got a cool tattoo.
He's got a nice... A little tattoo? Yeah, tattoo!
The armband with music is totally cool.
Yeah. Anyway, see Max, and he's performing with you, right?
Absolutely.
And let's ask, is Max single?
No, I'm not.
Because there'd be a whole bunch of girls that I know would be totally into him.
Just because he's not single doesn't mean they can't come to the
game. Come
ask for themselves.
Yeah. Well, he could do a non-single concert.
You know, he does the whole, he's got that whole, the long hair, the rock and roll look.
I'm ready to say, my sweet Lord. Anyway, we got to go, so thank you very much. We want to say thank you to Alex Nestor. Thank you very much.
Thank you both
And we want to thank all our audience, John Michael Capaldi.
I'm here, by the way. And it's johnmichaelcapaldi.com if you'd like to reading from
Celebrity Psychic.
Celebrity Psychic himself, who I never do the psychic thing here. We're just here having fun.
That's it. Good night from Los Angeles.
From LA. You guys have fun. Be naughty out there.
Let me get my little bye bye. There we go. Okay.
Oh my god, sorry. You guys are fabulous.
No. But the show's fast.
Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.
Oh, is this the one?
Right here on LA Talk Radio. Yeah.
Actually, the song that we did is on that very first record.
I saw that. I already know where it is.